This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming, to movies, TV shows and pop culture, to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you from Chicago, USA, with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here, live from the NVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. It's a new month, and giving me a rundown of what we can expect on the various streaming services is Editor-in-Chief of Extremist, Rob Toledo. Thanks for joining me, Rob.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Rob. So there's a couple things that already came out. I wanted your take on Punisher. What did you think of it?
Yeah. I think the Marvel Universe on Netflix has been a big win for the service. There's been some hits and some misses, certainly. I like the Punisher. I think they did a pretty good job with the character. I must confess that I'm a little biased towards, moral ambiguity in my characters, and I think the Punisher offers plenty of that, so maybe I'm a little bit biased towards liking it more than most. But I'm liking the show. The production, of course, is amazing. The main actor's name, John Bernthal, I think his name is. I love him. I think he's great in the show. Super violent, though, right? There's been a bunch of complaints around, the web and in a lot of the reviews that the show's too violent. And in the back of my head, I'm kind of wondering, like, well, what'd you expect with the Punisher? he's pretty notorious for this. The one thing I would comment on is it's a bit of a slow burn for the character. They do a lot of character development in the early few episodes. I'm not done with it yet. I have about two or three episodes to go. But I've really noticed it picking up in the last few episodes. And with that, I've kind of appreciated that slow start that it gave it.
You know, it's so funny. I actually love anti-heroes, too. There's Venom, Lobo. There's so many of them out there. And it's kind of nice to see them kind of get their own series, because they are kind of the ones who walk on that line of, are they a hero? Are they a bad guy? And usually it's because they're really violent.
I mean, going back to that, I think people who might have had other, thoughts about how violent the show was, maybe are familiar with The Punisher, which I understand. I love that moral ambiguity. I think it's so much fun in a character, and I thought they did a good job with it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's nice seeing a character that's kind of black and white. But when you have a character like Punisher who's like a little bit in that gray area, I think it gives for better storytelling. But that's just me.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely.
I read one of your articles that back in November, only 37% are using Amazon Video. Why do you think that that's true?
Yeah, sure, good question. We were surprised by that, to be honest. And just for clarification, we're not a data research firm. This is a pretty simple survey. So, the margin for error could certainly be there. But, I think we polled enough people, and the results, I think, were kind of telling that, there's a large percentage of people who have Amazon Prime, and, the one that I thought was most interesting was a lot of people didn't even know that the video service was there, and I can just imagine Jeff Bezos, in his office going, kind of freaking out about this. Like, this is supposed to be one of their, new or their next big things in their product line. And, a lot of the reasons that I think we kind of heard was, first and foremost, I think, when people signed up for Prime originally, the video service was definitely just kind of an afterthought, there was a little catalog off to the side, and Amazon kind of had it as a line item on, the many benefits you get with a Prime subscription. I think they've kind of shifted to make Amazon Video a more important product in Amazon. And I think we're kind of seeing kind of straggling marketing efforts. They haven't had like that PR darling show, like they haven't had like that House of Cards moment like Netflix had. They had Transparent, which was a successful show kind of in like the indie circles a little bit at the start, and it got some attention. But I don't know, like if you think about kind of the original offering library they have, it feels like they're taking some really big shots, but just nothing's really hit yet. The other thing that I have to complain about, and I love Amazon Prime. It's great. But that the interface is just unbearable for me, and I'm an Apple TV user, and it's not even available on Apple TV, so I have to have the Amazon Video app on my phone, and then I have to AirPlay it to my Apple TV, and it's just like, I might as well just use Netflix or Hulu or one of those other services. We kind of found through that survey that was a pretty common complaint. Apple TV has a pretty big share of the market, and I don't know who's at fault here, but at some point I feel like Amazon or Apple needs to give in and just, play nicely together. Come on.
when it comes to Amazon Prime, I am one of those that is guilty of having Prime and never using the video service. And it wasn't until I think last year where I was like, oh, wow, they have videos I can watch.
Right. And the Amazon thing where they offer so many different services and then just kind of the marketing machine falls short or something. But, you know, I think as we've joked before, like, you know, Jeff Bezos recently, there's a rumor that he stormed into the Amazon video offices and demanded the team build him a Game of Thrones. And, you know, just recently, I think a couple weeks ago, there was that announcement that Amazon paid like $1 billion for the rights to Lord of the Rings, and they're going to make a show out of it. You know, so there's definitely a lot of interest from the executives to promote this as like the next TV. But, you know, they got to do something about the, you know, just like the awareness of it, you know, like you were saying, like you didn't even know until recently that it was a thing. And, you know, it's going to make, you know, that video team just, you know, pull their hair out.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't know if this is true, but for me, I think the library got a lot larger and it got a little bit better because I watched one James Bond movie and then they all popped up in my recommendation. So at least they're knowing what I'm watching, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. It's like when you're shopping on there and you've like clicked on one item and then like nine items show up that like you might like this item. And you're like, how did you know that? The same thing with the movie service. You know, and I think, you know, if they can get people into the service, if they can clean up the experience a little bit, I think they can be competitive. It's just, you know, can they do that in time before, you know, nine other services pop up in the meantime that are all providing a similar level of content?
Yeah. You know what else, too, is that I have difficulty searching through what they have, their library, because it feels like I have to keep watching for more movies to unlock. And, you know, this kind of feels like a game to me at this point. Like, if I want horror movies, I'm going to have to just watch one horror movie that I know I like, and it's going to unlock all these other ones instead of me being able to just search through it.
That's absolutely right. Very common complaint. It's like, you know, you're scrolling through their library, and it's like it kind of shows you five or six movies at a time. And you just have to keep scrolling to, you know, eventually get to something. It's like, come on, give us a program. Just show me everything and I'll decide.
Yeah. You know, what's really funny about that is that I'll be scrolling through it and it just ends. And I'm like, wait, so they only have 20 movies?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, I know that's not true. But speaking of Amazon, I mean, they have Transparent, but they canceled that, right?
Yeah, I don't know what the word is on that right now with, you know, the whole Jeffrey Tambor thing. Like, he has some accusations against him for some sexual misconduct. And, you know, kind of in that trend that we're seeing in Hollywood right now. I'm not sure if the show has any life left in it. I think they were planning on trying to figure out what to do next. So I'm not sure. I haven't gotten an official word on that yet.
Yeah, I'm wondering how that's going to go, because if he's not in it, there's no Transparent. I mean, that was the point of it. So
the whole point of the show.
And this is like we've discussed. I mean, they don't have much. This was it.
Yep. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, I think that Lord of the Rings show, they're betting huge on that, you know. And, you know, if that thing falls up short, oh boy, there's going to be some rolling heads at the Amazon offices, I'm sure. But, you know, they want their Game of Thrones and they're going for it.
Oh, well, good luck to them. Now, I did read that Disney wants to start their own streaming service. What do you think that means for, like, Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon? I mean, are they just going to pull all their content then?
What an interesting question, and one we argue about a lot. You know, it doesn't surprise me that Disney would want to do this because everybody's doing this, right? The thing that's interesting, as you pointed out, was Disney's integrated with a lot of these services already. You know, they own ABC, who owns part of Hulu. You know, they had a huge deal with Netflix, you know, so they've kind of integrated themselves in, and now they're just kind of like, you know, and Disney is one of the most powerful content producers in the world and probably always will be. And it's like, you know, here they are. I don't know what they're going to do. Are they going to pull all their content? Are they going to keep both going? You know, there was a lot of talk that, you know, they are going to be pulling a lot of content from Netflix, which is just, you know, another warning sign to Netflix that they need to continue to produce their own content because they're going to keep losing stuff like this. The one I'm most fascinated with, though, will be the Hulu stuff because, you know, like I was saying, they own ABC, and ABC has all their content on Hulu. And, you know, that'd be a big hit for them because, you know, Hulu is known for that next day television. And, you know, ABC is one of the four big networks. And, you know, if they get pulled, then all of a sudden Hulu's down to, you know, you're basically cutting one of their legs out.
You know what, though, when it comes to Disney, I mean, they're the kings of original content. I mean, you know, Mickey Mouse Club, everybody came from there. Britney Spears, Justin Timberlake. So, you know, it's kind of funny that if they want to start their own streaming services, they could have original content on their own stuff and still throw stuff to Hulu. So it's like they, again, king of content at this point.
Right, absolutely. They own so much of it. You know, and they're all those subsidiary companies that I couldn't even name. Like, you know, I don't even know what Disney owns, but it just seems like about everything. So,
yeah, Disney, you know, still owns ESPN, so they have sports stuff, too.
Yep, that's right. And, you know, streaming sports is a big thing right now. And, who knows what could come of that.
But so there isn't any information yet about when they're going to do it or how much it would be?
There's a lot of rumors. The thought I've heard is kind of either late 2018 or maybe 2019, but I that's pretty unofficial, I think, at this point. I do know they're moving quick. They've got a lot of people focused on this, so it's definitely a hot priority there. And, you know, to be kind of honest, I'm surprised it's actually taken this long.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of the other channels have created their own, you know, once again, they don't have the Disney power. But, you know, CBS, Fox, NBC, they all have their own streaming services. And so, you know, I'm kind of surprised that Disney has taken this long. Maybe there's some legal reasons or contracts they're waiting to fulfill. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, whenever they flip that switch, it's going to be a big movement in the industry, certainly.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to lie. I'm probably going to pay for it because I'm a sucker for some Disney movies because there are some nights where it's like, I want to watch Lion King.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's a very common sentiment. And like I was saying, they're going to be able to come into the scene with a massive library. And so with that, they're going to go, you know, you've noticed that your Netflix library is dwindling. Well, how about a Disney service? And, you know, they did announce that they're planning on undercutting Netflix pricing.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, you know, for $7 a month or whatever, you know, of course I'm going to pay that. You know, I'm not even going to think twice about it. But that's how this all gets really expensive really quick is, you know, yeah, I canceled my cable paying $60, $70, $80 a month. But now I'm paying $10 to $15 a month for five different services, and it's almost the same price as my cable used to be.
Yeah, but you know what? When it comes to Disney, I mean, people think, oh, they're going to have nothing but kids' movie. But you know what? They have all the ABC stuff, too. So they may have Alias up there. Who knows, you know?
Yeah, ABC, and I'm, you know, they own several, you know, movie studios that do not produce kids movies. They produce, you know, normal movies. And, you know, that's going to be a massive content library that they're going to be able to just put on the market and say, have at it for a few bucks a month. And, you know, if I were Netflix, I would certainly be nervous about that.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, Netflix has a lot of original content. I think everybody kind of knows about it. But does Amazon, besides Transparent and Hulu, do they have anything else like that's original content that people should be looking out for?
Yeah, the one that really jumped out at me this year was Handmaid's Tale, the Margaret Atwood adaptation that they did for Hulu. You know, it ended up winning the Emmy, you know, for best drama. And it's like, you know, that's big time for Hulu. Now, what's been funny about that is, you know, Hulu to me has represented, you know, kind of just, they're just dipping their toe into the water of original content, kind of seeing what it's like. And to come out with a big winner like that is, you know, it's impressive. Amazon, on the other hand, I feel like they've been so focused on kind of independent TV and you know, kind of like small movies, and you know, nothing's really come out and just like wowed a massive, you know, commercial audience. I think Lord of the Rings is going to be a big attempt to do that. You know, they just recently put out a trailer for the Grand Tour, which was the Top Gear guys moved off of BBC and over to Amazon to produce the original show there. That's brought a pretty big audience. So that one's been pretty fun.
With Hulu, I was reading, or actually I didn't read it. I watched the trailer for Runaways. What did you think of that?
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet. I've heard good things, though. I mean, it seems like a lot of fun. You know, I've been pretty busy with a lot of other content right now. It's hard to keep up. But the reviews I've seen have been great. And, you know, a lot of people seem to be enjoying it thus far.
Could you give a little, like, synopsis of it? Because is this supposed to be, like, Marvel, like, tied into the series? Or is this kind of like a standalone thing, not going to be integrated into, the movies and stuff?
Yeah, I don't know about the movies. I think, you know, as far as I can tell, I imagine it's just going to be a little standalone thing. But I do know that they're going pretty big on it as far as, like, you know, giving it a lot of attention for, you know, especially from the Hulu perspective.
You know, it's just there's so much Marvel stuff out there. I just want to make sure, like, hey, is this, like, part of the movies or is this just, like, a side issue? It's so confusing sometimes.
Yeah, it's, I mean, and it's such a big universe, too, isn't it? So,
yeah, you know, and it's kind of hard to keep up with because so many companies have their fingers on different parts of the licensing. So it's like, is this going to be part of the X-Men or they can't say X-Men in this one?
No, I know. It certainly has not gotten less confusing, has it?
For this month, do you know what Netflix is kind of bringing in new and what's leaving?
Yeah. Rest in peace to It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. That was kind of a mainstay on Netflix for a lot of people, and
yeah,
it's being removed.
Oh, wow.
You know, And you know, this just kind of goes along with the theme that we've all been seeing, is just Netflix's library just kind of continues to get picked off. You know, like, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is gone, How I Met Your Mother is gone, King of the Hill is gone. You know, like, it's just like these big shows with lots of back catalog, you know, getting removed. And, you know, I don't think it's Netflix's fault. I think it's the content owners who are saying, we can put this on another service. You know, in an example of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, it's just on Hulu now. So, you know, and Hulu has partially owned by Fox, who owns FX, who produces It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. So, you know, you can kind of follow that trail with all these shows leaving and popping up on other services. But, you know, it just goes to show how much focus is on, you know, Netflix has to have on that original content compared to the, you know, to purchasing the rights to third-party content.
Yeah, that's...
With that in mind,
oh, go ahead.
Netflix has two shows popping, you know, two big originals coming this month that have done quite well in the past. With The Crown Season 2 is coming. Not my favorite show, but a lot of people really liked it. It kind of has that Downton Abbey, you know, feel to it, and that show's done really well. And then, surprisingly, one of their most successful shows, Fuller House, Season 3 is coming. You know, and so everyone's pretty excited about that. That show kind of keeps its audience happy, and there's nothing wrong with that. The one I'm most excited about, though, is the next season of Black Mirror is coming, which is a show that got pulled from Channel 4, which is a British television network, and is brought on as a Netflix original. And each episode is kind of a standalone movie, but it's got, you know, these really kind of dark and mysterious themes in each episode, and I absolutely love it.
Yeah, Black Mirror, that's a really good one. And I love that it's not, like, super long, so you don't have to sit there through, like, 12 episodes.
And to anyone listening, I highly recommend you skip the first episode of the first season. That episode kind of feels off a little bit. I would just move into episode 2, and, you know, they're all standalone episodes. If you're looking to check Black Mirror out, though, just kind of move to the second episode, and then watch. You can always go back to it later, but each episode being its own standalone story, I love that. It's an easy way just to enjoy an hour of television without having to invest, you know, one of my pet peeves is when someone's like, oh, just give the whole first season a shot, and then you'll love the second season. I'm like, I don't have time for that.
No, you know what I've noticed with British shows? A lot of their episodes are standalone. Like, it will be an hour and a half mystery thing. And you don't, like, if you didn't see season 2, episode 4, it doesn't mean anything. It's not going to translate
right
into the next one. So those are really nice. I really like that kind of style. I'm hoping it comes to America really fast.
Yeah, and I think we've seen the popularity of that with, I think the one that kind of got real popular in the United States was Sherlock, you know, with Benjamin Cumberbatch. Like, that show got really popular, and each episode kind of stands alone on its own with kind of an overarching theme through the season, which I really like.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just like it's a little mini movie that's made for TV without it being like, you know, because when you think of, like, mini movies for TVs, you think of, like, It. It was, how many episodes was that for TV? I think 7 or 8. And it was over the course of a couple months. Like, in this case, it's like, oh, you know, it's, you can sit down for an hour, you can watch it, and it's over. You don't have to worry about coming back next week or having to fix your schedule up. It's like, ugh, it was done. And I love that.
Yep, me too. I do think that is going to get more popular, especially just with the way people are consuming TV now. You know, with the streaming services, it's nice to still pop, you know, enjoy an hour of television and kind of move on.
Now, when it comes to for streaming services, is there any movies to look out for?
You know, that's the one that I would say Amazon probably has the leg up on. Hulu to me is focused specifically on television, you know, mostly on television. They might argue differently, but I would say their movie catalog is a little weaker. I feel like Netflix's movie catalog has gotten a lot weaker. But what surprised me about them has been, you know, they've attempted to produce several original movies, Netflix that is, and I don't know if they've really nailed it with any of them yet. You know, I think they figured out original television. I think they're doing a good job with that, but, you know, they're trying to move into movie world, and they've brought in some really big name actors, like, you know, Will Smith is in an original movie that's coming out here pretty soon. You know, but then you look at, like, a couple months ago, they released a Brad Pitt movie, which you would think kind of would just be this big, you know, commercial success. But, you know, really and truly, I've heard it fell kind of flat, you know. And so, you know, I'm not sure on, you know, kind of what their long-term plan is there, but hopefully they figure that out. So, you know, that leaves us with, you know, I think Amazon, who I do think has a pretty good back catalog of movies, as much as we like to tease their interface, you know, I think they'll figure that out and people will discover they have a lot of good movies on their catalog.
Yeah, they do have, like, a lot of movies. Unfortunately, they do kind of, like, trick me sometimes because I'll be like, oh, they got this movie. And then you click on it and it's like you could rent it for $3.99. I was like, you tricked me again.
I know. Isn't that just so funny? They just kind of, I don't know what it is, but they just kind of, you know, they mix in those two interfaces and it's like, this is on Prime. I'm like, well, what does that even mean? Does it mean I have to pay for it, or does it mean that I can watch it for free? And, you know, so, but at the end of the day, I think their movie catalog is growing, and I think they'll continue to grow it.
Well, thanks so much, Rob, for coming on. I really appreciate you being here. For those listening, where can they find you at?
Yeah, they can find me at extremist.com, and we typically cover, you know, what's coming and going from each streaming service. You can check us out on the web.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Head to WGNradio.com for exclusive content by Mason. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter @MasonVeraPayne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.